This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Yeah, no, you guys gonna have to hold on for just a second because this is absolutely not it. There we go. Let's get here. And yeah,
these are my favorite opens, to be honest.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, facts.
Wow. Let's go.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Yes, sir. Oh, my little, see, this is bad.
You're what?
The mouse.
Mm-hmm.
We got air horns back, man, because D-Lo and KC is on your airwaves here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one spot for all your sports talk here, whether it's with D-Lo and KC, whether it's with the insiders that just came off the air. But one of them's still hanging out with me, man, Kyle Madsen. He's still rocking with me. D-Lo will be here. We're just working out a couple things, but he will be in the building. But as of right now, it's your boy, Kenny Caraway. Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And for a little while, it's your boy, Kyle Madsen.
I'm in God mode.
Yo, and we are live
from the worst slums of Sacramento.
There we go. Hey, man, it's a big game for the 49ers tonight. I'm going to be talking about that a lot today because it's not a must win. It is not a must win. Like, it literally is not a must
win. It is.
No, it's not.
Well, literally, by the literal definition of must win, it is not. You're
right. Because if you lose, like, what? It's over in week six? You're two games.
No, but you're
behind your first place team.
You're 0-4 in the conference and 0-3 in the division.
Yeah. All you gotta do is win the division.
And you're 2-4 with wins against the Patriots and Jets, who just fired their coach.
All you gotta do is win a division. Oof. All you gotta do is win a division. That's all you gotta do. That's the mindset. And because, like I said, because you're not in the NFC North, this is not a must win. If you were in the NFC North and the first place team was 6-0 or 5-1 or something like that, or if you were in the NFC East, like, yeah, you can't lose, else that's out the window. And we're talking about the Seahawks. Seahawks ain't that good.
I think they might not be. And they're super banged up defensively. They might have like five starters out on defense. That's tough for them for sure. And that's where you talk about a must win for the 49ers. That's why this falls into that realm for me.
Okay.
Because it's already, the vibes are already down, right? But you look at the Rams game, it's like, man, if two plays go different, they win that game. If one play goes different, they win that game. Jordan Mason doesn't fumble against the Cardinals, and they probably win that game. But to your point, Seattle's not that good, right? If that's the takeaway from the first part of their season, okay, let's ride with that. If the Niners can't go in there and beat them, then it's like, who are they beating? What I would have no if they can't go to Seattle on a short week and in a spot where you've heard D'Amador Lenore, you've heard Nick Bosa, you've heard Fred Warner. Fred Warner's talking about how, man, if somebody needs me to fire them up, like for this game, then we've got the wrong guys here.
Right.
They all know the stakes, and if they're ramping up for a game of this magnitude, and they still can't go in there and get a win, now the minor concerns I have become much bigger.
Understandable. And look, I don't want to completely downplay it. This is a game they need. They need this game tonight if they have aspirations of, you know, being a playoff team, winning the division, all this other stuff. So it is a big game. But we're not going to start there. We're going to get there eventually. We're not going to start there because the Kings were back in town last night. And Kyle, I'm just going to tell you, I think I saw the best offense in basketball last night. I'm just saying, and I'm not talking about the team that hit 45 three-pointers. I'm talking about the Sacramento Kings. I couldn't believe the Warriors did not miss. Like, everybody just shooting confidently. Just, and they even touched the rim last night.
It was when the one that was like, all right, this is dumb. This is jump the shark, was the one that D'Anthony Melton hit from like 30, where he just pulled up like top of the key and cashed it with it. Okay,
just
sure.
Just pure. Buddy Hield was out here. We was wondering if we had a big discussion yesterday about when Buddy, you were here, you heard it, when Buddy Hield would stop getting booed. It wasn't last night. But it didn't matter last night. But he was on fire last night. What was it, 7-for-7?
Well, 6-for-7 from 3, 8-of-9 from the field. We all know Buddy can shoot, though. James and I talked about this. We all know Buddy can shoot. Mm. And I've gone through this before. It's kind of as a bit. But if you go back and look at the last 2 years, if you're taking Buddy Hield as a direct replacement for Klay Thompson, over the last two seasons, they are ostensibly the same player. I mean, really. But those box score numbers and the advanced numbers don't account for all the times that Buddy's going to take a three early in the shot clock, or he's going to dribble a ball off his foot in the final seconds of a tie game. It doesn't take into account all of those things. So yeah, he made a bunch of shots last night, but I don't expect him to continue doing that being a factor like that.
He did cook, and for the audience on ESPN 1320 on YouTube, you see that the man is here.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
D'Lo is in the building.
God mode is a hell of a way of putting away. I feel. Right.
D'Lo with the run in here.
He's in God damn it mode.
That's a lot closer to the reality of the situation. It was like, oh man, I hope it's not COVID. I would welcome COVID over whatever the hell it was over the last 36 hours. Oh my God. I told KC I was fine this morning. I was like, I'm good. We had Casey and I had a lot of work to do. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do something that I haven't done in a day and some change. I'm going to eat. And right in the middle of Casey and I doing that work, it was like, well, that was a mistake. Your best bet is to just go home and hope everything goes all right from there. So I'm here, baby.
Here, though, man. And like I told people yesterday, you promised us all, if you were going to pass away, if you were going to croak, it would be
fire.
On the air. That is a fire shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know,
no,
it'd be great for views.
What's that?
That would be great for views. Terrible for us.
That's all I'm concerned about. That's all we're here for is the views. We're just here for the engagement, clickbait, and all that stuff. And if this is how I got to go out, it's how I got to go out. The cold piece is I don't feel sick at all. It's just I got the stomach virus from hell or whatever it was. That was rough.
It's just one of those things like when you're sick, it takes a lot out of you. And you know, it's just you're trying to recoup. You may not be sick anymore, but your body's like, yo, I didn't gone through it. So
yeah, that was a rough few hours right there. It was a rough, like, 18-19 hour stretch, man. It was brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Well, my dog's back. Glad to hear you. Glad to see you. I was talking to my man Kyle Madsen. Shout out Kyle Madsen, man. He was like, yo, he hit me yesterday. He's like, yo, if you need me, man, just let me know. Let me know real quick. I'll hang on a little longer. And I didn't say anything. And then last minute, I was like, Kyle, can you hang on for a little bit, just a little bit? So I appreciate my man Kyle Madsen. But D-Lo, we was just talking about maybe the best offense in basketball. And that's Sacramento Kings offense. It's lethal. It's lethal. I don't know where the holes are. I really don't.
I don't know, man. I'm trying not to like overreact to it, but that was a smooth flowing. I mean, for a team that shot, like, how many threes did they make? Like 27? The Warriors 28. Made like 27 threes? 28. And for that game to kind of be what it was, and I mean, I don't remember what the breakdown was. I might have it in my notes here, but the amount of threes, let's see, they were 15 of 27 in the first half. Kings were 4 of 13, and for that game to be what it was because of what they were doing inside the three-point line is insane.
Yeah.
Like, that's absolutely crazy. And, like, Domas was shooting mid-range shots. DeMar and Domas were running that two-man game over and over and over again. Of course, you had De'Aaron doing what he does on a regular, and then you had Malik during his, like, one single stretch in the game. And, man, that's really exciting to think about.
Yeah,
and if that's really the Kings' offense, that's really exciting to think about.
Well, and that's the Kings' offense last night, and that's the preseason game one version.
Right.
Like, we haven't even seen defenses adjusting to it, and then all the different things are going to be able to do off of that. We talked about De'Aaron Fox kind of in cruise control last night. They were so good offensively, and that's why when Kenny goes, I'm looking at the best offense in the league, that's on the table for sure. Like, they have the pieces to do that. They have the coaching staff to do that. And, man, if they execute the way I think they're capable of, like, they're going to be really, really hard to stop.
They look potent out there last night, and the thing about it too, and this isn't, you know, shots at the Warriors or anything else like that, but they didn't look good on offense by just having like a record setting first half from three. It was just like, oh yeah, Fox goes to the bucket, DeMar hits mid range, Sabonis had a 1-on-1. And got to the bucket, got offense. Like, it was just real, repeatable, regular stuff. And it was just unbelievably efficient. I guess the biggest thing that was a little different and that you wonder, hey, can this continue? Not DeMar 6-for-6, because he might not miss a shot all year. It's more so Sabonis and the jump shot. Is that who he's going to be? Is that what's in his bag now? He had a pull-up jump shot, not even like a, hey, I'm moving my pivot around in mid-range jump shot. He dribbled up the court, hit him a little Kobe, T-Mac type of hezzy, and then pulled out. I said, oh, is that what we're doing? So that's one thing that I want to see. Is that a regular part of the offense? But everything else seemed pretty, pretty repeatable.
Yeah, there was no.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Like, the Warriors are going to be able to hit a lot of threes, but are they going to hit 28 of, you know, whatever the number wound up being? Are they going to hit 15 to 27 and a half like they did? And I think there's probably a separate Warriors conversation to be had at 95.7 where Kyle is right now. And there's a separate conversation as to why that happened against Sacramento again. Because that like if you're just looking at the first game of a preseason, it's like, well, all right, cool. That's the continuation of a problem that the Kings had last year. And it wasn't a first half problem or a second half problem. It was a game problem that if there's one like maybe little cause for concern from last night's game, that might be it. But we have all day to talk about it, man. We are thrilled that you're here with us. Dealing with KC, big thanks to Kyle for sticking around. I know Kyle's got a real, real busy day. With the Seahawks and the 49ers tonight. We'll come back. We've got much more ahead here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC, ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one sports leader. D'Lo in the building is...
Yeah, I can hear the rejoiner music. This time I couldn't hear it. Normally I can hear it like either through your headphones or somewhere, but I couldn't hear it this time. So I guess I got to rely on you.
D'Lo back-ish. This is a AAA rehab assignment for him. He's not back in the bigs yet in the studio, but he's at the home studios, which, to be honest with you, Jesse, you see the wall, you see everything.
Yeah, it's what probably, room is that?
It's probably richer than these studios, to be honest with you.
Well, will you two stop it?
It's true.
Oh, get out of here.
I just got a couple of books up. This guy's got, is that marble on the wall?
It looks expensive.
You guys are ridiculous. First of all,
the radio, you can't see this. It's like kind of like crystals and diamonds everywhere. It's pretty wild for the radio. For the radio that can't see it, radio people.
That's not remotely true. I can move this camera around. You could see everything that's in here. So stop it. But two, you know, I have this room because I don't have children. Your rooms are occupied by little people who run the house. I just use rooms for at home studios like this, which I don't really even use anymore. But knowing that I wasn't like feeling my best, I was like, maybe I do the show from home today. But I had to go into the studio because you and I had some work to do for KSFM. And then it became, well, you know, just it'd be best if I went home and did the show just in case something went wrong. So I was like, I don't think I've done a show from here yet. From this.
No, I don't think so either. we're glad to have you back one way or the other. So
appreciate it. Yeah.
And I got to give a shout out before we're going to get more into the Kings and everything. But I got to give a shout out to Kings fans. We spent the majority of yesterday, you know, talking about the Kings are home. The Kings are back and everybody being excited about that and what that was going to mean for the city and Doko and all this other stuff. And we asked the question. We said, you know, they're not going to sell out a preseason. That's asking a lot. Like, you probably get about 15, you know, Rockets 15,000, 14,000. Like, people are going to be excited. No. 17,889
crazy
for a preseason game at the Golden One Center, sold out crowd, man. Shout out to Kings fans, man, doing what they do.
Yeah, that's absolute fire, man. I love that and shouldn't be surprised by it. I mean, DeMar's first game as a Sacramento King. Of course, the Golden State Warriors are here. Buddy Hield's return.
Buddy Hield. I don't know if
Buddy was. Hey, Buddy was a flamethrower last night.
He really was. I don't know if you heard any yesterday, but yesterday we were kind of debating the whole time about will the Buddy Hield booing ever stop? It didn't stop now. I said it's going to be more ironic than venomous like it was. Like I don't think it's going to stop. I think they're going to boo Buddy maybe for the rest of his career, but it's going to be more of a ha-ha, like everybody have fun with it. The Chad Matthews match with Chatty House was like, when I asked the question, they're like, no, we're booing him forever.
Bro, do you know how many Buddy Hield Spencer Hawes comparisons we got yesterday?
They went too far.
That's too much. That's too much. Buddy's not that. Buddy's not Spencer. That's a little too much.
That's what I said. They said he was Jason Terry. I said, I wouldn't even call him Jason Terry. And then
I still don't know why he told Sacramento to do that to his anatomy.
Yeah, you know? that was, and it was a Pacers Celtics game. Like,
yo, that was, yeah, that why was, are we,
why are we doing that? But Buddy ain't Spencer Halls. He ain't Spencer Halls.
He's not. He's not.
And like you said, last night he was a flamethrower. And shout out to my guy, Mark Jones, who pulled up. I was able to, I watched both broadcasts. I went back and watched the ESPN one. And sure enough, they came with the good old, they must have talked to the good old people over at NBC California. Cause
I saw it. Yeah, I saw it.
Buddy Hield, most three-pointer well, in the last 5 years or something like that. It was there. It was there.
Buddy and Steph. And NBC has waited years to put that graphic up, and they finally got to do it.
Oh, they're gonna have that maybe every game, every other game, Warriors game, like on NBC Sports Area. Like,
oh yeah, that's gonna be up there.
Fitz, and let me tell you, the guy who actually has the most threes is Buddy Hield.
Whose voice is that?
That's Fitz. Jesse, what do you give me for a Fitzgerald?
Oh, man.
I give you like a 5 or 6. I see the vision. You got to get Marv Albert out of there, though.
Yeah, there was
the ghost of Marv Albert is there.
Right there.
The guy who has the most three-pointers is Buddy Hield. Oh, Draymond was being a peacemaker.
Okay. Well, Draymond was bitching the whole game. This is a preseason game.
The first quarter,
that
too.
That dude was all over the officials the whole time he was playing.
For no reason. For no reason. Like, he got, okay, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but he got dunked on by Domantas Sabonis. And somehow he thought there should have been a foul call on that. And he was just, and at one point, the referee just kind of, it's like, all right, man. Like, they're not even mad. Like, he might not even get technicals this year because they don't even care. They're just like, all right, man.
Whatever. Was that Courtney Kirkland? Well, I can't remember which one it was. He kind of just laughed at him. He was like, all right, bro, whatever. You're trash. Like, get out of my face. You just might have had your best game all year, and it's your second game of the preseason. Get out of my face.
Yeah, man. So that, and he was hitting threes yesterday. That's how you know it was crazy.
It was.
Because he was draining threes. But
let's go there for a second. Is that cause for concern? Like what we were talking about with Kyle a minute ago, the fact that, you know, because we were talking, the conversation started with Sacramento's offense and how well that they played, and how this might be like, man, if this is a window into the future, the Sacramento Kings are in really, really good shape this season. Being able to score, what was it, 60-something points, 69 points, 68 points, without hitting like a barrage of threes in the first half, you know, getting double digits from all of the guys you expect to get double digits from, Malik and Domas, and DeMar was perfect from the field in his first game as a Sacramento King. But it kind of transitioned over to where it's actually pretty amazing that the Kings were able to do that, given that the Warriors hit 15 threes in the first half and damn near matched it with 13 in the second. Mm-hmm. But that's the continuation of a problem that the Kings had last year. That's a continuation of a problem we talked about. That's a continuation of a problem that Mike Brown talked about all last year, about not being physical enough when guarding the three-point shot. Mm-hmm. And then we see, you know, Buddy come out, we see the Golden State Warriors come out and hit that just absurd number of threes in a preseason game.
I'm going to say it's not alarming yet for me. And one of the reasons I feel that way is because it was so egregious. Like, they hit so many threes. Maybe it's just easier mentally to write off as like, that was just a crazy night, as opposed to there's a real problem. So I want to see it over the course of the preseason. And then even when we get into the regular season, I want to see it for a couple games to see if that's something that they're able to rectify, be better at. I also look at it as, I'm not sure if they're necessarily really ever going to get that much better at that. Like, I think it's the give and take when you talk about the Kings. I think they'll be dynamic on the offensive end. I do think they'll be a team that from time to time gives up a lot of open looks on the defensive end. Like, when I talk about the Sacramento Kings being good this year and what they can do on the offensive end, and you know, and scoffing at people that just keep talking about the defense and all this other stuff, I also understand, like, I don't expect them to be top five on offense and top 10 on defense. Like, they aren't a great defensive team. You got to give a little bit of something up, especially if they want to play with this type of pace. So I'm not overly concerned about it, but I don't think it drastically changes from last year. I don't think that.
So it doesn't need a drastic change, but it does need to improve, though, no?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And I think it will. I think they're going to be a better defensive team than people are talking about or giving them credit for, because lineups, you hear, the defense is going to be a big problem. I don't think defense is going to be a big problem.
Shout out ESPN. I actually thought they looked pretty decent defensively last night. I think Will Z had a deflection stat that he posted on Twitter. I think it was something like 26 deflections or something like that. And for comparison's sake, I think he said Memphis led the league. I could be completely butchering that.
Will Z was on the Chatty House after party.
Well, that he's ultra big time. Once you hit that show,
everybody but Leezy gets on that show.
Damn shame what happened to Leezy. The Kings had 25 deflections, not 26, 25 deflections, and the Grizzlies led the league last year with 16. So I thought they were active on the defensive end, and I don't think that was really a concern. It was just that one particular shot that they seemed to struggle with again.
And that's why I'm kind of writing it off a little bit. Like, it's a one-off, you know?
But is it that? And I guess that's what I'm stuck on. Why do you think it's a one-off if that's what happened last year?
Because I think they'll be better against the three and on defense in general this year. And like, I'd have to like really look, maybe get Will Z talk about the Warriors open and wide open shots, but they were hitting them from everywhere. I mean, they were hitting wide open shots, they were in corner shots, they were hitting from 33 feet out. They had Wiggins hit, like, everybody was hitting threes. And like I said, maybe it's just easier because of that to write it off as, all right, they were just hot, as opposed to it's still a real problem. That's why I say I'll give it a couple games before I classify it as a real problem or not, because they just hit everything.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I got it. It's the first preseason game for the Kings, so it's whatever. But it sure feels like a lot of teams hit everything last year.
Yeah,
that's just why it caught my attention. It feels a little bit different because, you know, we'll get our jokes off, but like Steph can shoot, Buddy can shoot. You know, every once in a green moon, Draymond Green will hit, you know, one or two threes. And like that starts to add up. And that's essentially what happened yesterday, is it started to add up. I'll worry far less about the 28 and think more about the 15. They hit 15 in the first half when DeMar and De'Aaron and Keon and those guys were playing.
Yeah. And it maybe it still is a weakness, but you got a team that, like, it's the it's almost the perfect matchup for that, right? Like, and I don't know how many more times it's going to be recreated throughout the NBA, but you've got a team in Sacramento that potentially could struggle defending the three, and a team in the Warriors who, by virtue of their roster, may only exclusively be looking for open threes, and they can shoot the open three. Like, that's their strength. They got Steph, Buddy, Melton. Kuminga's got that in his game now. So you've got it might in some ways be a bad matchup for the Kings in that respect. Because I was thinking of other teams. I don't know if OKC or Minnesota will shoot the same way against the Kings from beyond the arc, just because they're not looking. They may not be looking as much for the 3-point shot. If they are, yeah, now we got an issue. Like, if we got to deal with that on October 24th for that first game at the Golden 1 Center, and the Timberwolves are doing that from beyond the arc, we need to address this now.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this too. Part of the reason I think those shots were there for the Warriors was because of the pace that the Kings were playing at.
That's true too.
The reason that the Kings were in the position that they were, and what was it? I keep wanting to say 68. Is that how many points it was? Yeah, it was 68-66 at the half, with the Kings only hitting four threes in that first half. So be able to get that amount of points, not just with DeMar's efficiency, but that shows that the Kings were playing at a certain pace that allowed them to keep up with the team that was hitting an extraordinary number of threes. They were shooting better than 50% at that point by doing it through the mid-range game, by doing it at the rim, and by doing it without the three ball. So that speaks to the pace that those guys were playing with last night, which, again, if you look for positives and negatives out of the game, you could feel a certain way about the Warriors hitting that number of threes, but you got to feel really good about the pace in which the Kings were playing to have been up on them at halftime, despite the fact they had given up 11 more made three-pointers to their opponent.
That's crazy, too. That's crazy. That's crazy to think of, you know. And I was telling the insiders this. I want to know what you think. It looked effortless. It looked like, okay, this is just what the offense is. You know, it looks something like something that you could recreate. DeMar did what he did, you know, hitting shots from the mid-range. Fox wasn't even ultra-aggressive, still had his 11 points. And Monk, who I something happened in the when he first came in, like the dribble handoff got fumbled, or, you know, he dropped the ball or something happened. I don't even know if it was a turnover. It was just like a little misstep. And I was like, oh, man, like, yeah, Monk, it was in my head that he hadn't played much and he was coming off injury and he's got to find the groove. And I was like, oh, man, it might be a rocky start for Malik. No, he just starts getting buckets. That's what he just starts getting buckets. He is a shorter version of DeMar DeRozan, like a certified bucket getter. That's just what he does.
Yeah, I mean, from the second he stepped on the floor. You said something there, though, that I love. You said it looked easy for the Kings as a whole. And that's something that I felt at times last year, where they'd be in tough games against good opponents, and it'd feel like the Kings would be working for every basket. Like, every basket they got, it was like they were working their ass off to get. And you'd see, you know, another team, be it like a Oklahoma City or a Minnesota, or certainly in the case of last year, New Orleans, you'd see them come down and they'd be able to answer, just like, boom, they'd be able to answer like it was nothing. The Kings offense yesterday looked like one of those really good teams offense where they just come down and they know they can score collectively on the floor together. They know they can get a bucket right now. Whether they can get a stop, that's something that they got to figure out on the other end. But when they have the ball in their hands, they have a supreme confidence. And that was something that, even in the Beam Team 1 years, I don't feel like that existed. Not that they weren't really good on offense, and not that like everything was a struggle, because there were times with De'Aaron where as much work as he made it look easy. Like De'Aaron made a lot of what, especially in the fourth quarter, he made a lot of what he did look easy. But as a collective unit, that was the easiest basketball has looked for them on the offensive end, I think we've seen with this group together.
100%. 100%. And like you said, it was a level of confidence that they had. You know what I mean? A level of confidence that they had in being able to come down the floor, get whatever shot they want, and convert every whatever shot they want. They we didn't talk about this yet, but from the free throw line, 13 of 15. And they didn't, that group, because I'm always thinking about just that first, that first half group, because that's the majority of the rotation. Right. They didn't even go to the line that much. You know, I think that's another aspect of that offense that is going to improve over last year, not just making free throws, but getting to the free throw line, having a guy like DeRozan. And DeMar and Sabonis, and they look like they've been working out at USC, man. They got the dribble handoff down. They've got the back door cuts down. Like, it looks seamless. They look absolutely seamless. And we talk about how, you know, it's their first time playing in a game and things like that. They look like they've been playing for a while. They look like they've been working on each other's movements and tendencies and, you know, and how to move in the dribble handoff and backdoors and all this other stuff. They've been doing their work early so they can hit the ground running once the season starts.
Yeah, that's absolutely what it feels like. And last night seemed to just be a little peek into that. We got some highlights on the other side of the floor too. I feel like this is another one of those moments that will only resonate with Kings fans, but Keegan's defense on Steph.
Turned up. Like
you talked about there being 17,000 at the Golden 1 Center last night, man. They came to their feet when Keegan got on Steph like that.
Yeah, and Keegan, that's another aspect of his game and the Kings game. His defense on really one through four. He's looking like he can guard 1 through 4 in certain situations. And that's something that you talk about the Kings fans, they recognize and they feed off of that. You saw in that same clip, the bench was feeding off that a little bit. They was getting hyped up. So there's an element with Keon and Keegan, when they get into their defensive bag and if they have somebody locked up, obviously the bench and the team knows the importance of that, but the intelligence of the Kings fans, they recognize and appreciate that as well. And it could be a momentum shift. You know, I see this team going on explosive runs, right? Like explosive, man, all of a sudden in the last minute and a half, they've gone on a 10-0 run because they're going to be able to get stops and score with their pace and from different places on the floor, three-pointers, getting to the line, all this other stuff. Man, out of nowhere, Kings 10-0 run. Like, I think they're going to have that type of capability. It's going to remind me a little bit. It's not going to look the exact same maybe, but it's going to remind me of, like, the 2015-2016 Warriors and how on offense you would be tied with them. And then all of a sudden, 14-3 run by the Warriors. Like, how did that happen? It's only been 2 minutes and 10 seconds. Like, how did we get there? I think they got that capability.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you, and I think there's so many different ways they can do it. One they didn't really show us last night, which was behind the arc, but we saw Domas take like four shots away from the rim.
Pure too. Look, pure.
Yeah, we saw Domas cooking in the mid range a little bit, and that, like, you know, people talk about like the growth of Domas's game maybe being more three pointers. I know that was something that they were talking about on the broadcast last night, at least the ESPN broadcast. That's something that they were talking about. And to see him shoot with that level of confidence in the mid range was pretty fire.
It was. I mean, what about the transition pull up mid range? That's an awful. I said, that's how you feel, Domas? Once again, I didn't tweet it out exactly, but I'll say it on the air. I'll say it here for the D'Lo and KC audience. I tweeted out, if that's in his bag now, it's over. I'll enhance that and say, if that's in his bag now, it's over for you hoes. Because that's what it is. If he's feeling like this is what I can do now, hit the mid-range, come with a little dribble handoff, or excuse me, not a dribble handoff, but a dribble pull-up into the jump shot, man, forget it. Forget it. Top five offense in the game. Forget it.
Yeah, that just seems, it seems so likely, and I don't even feel like this is an overreaction to what they did last night. This was what this reminds me of that, I think it was the first Raider game where they play that game and we're like, ugh, it's everything we thought it would be.
Oh, in the regular season, week one,
where we were like, man, their quarterback is a struggle. They don't have the playmakers. Their defense was good enough. Like, it was like everything we predicted in the offseason, like, it happened. Mm-hmm. There it was. And that's what I felt like it was with the Kings offense yesterday, or really that's what I felt like it was with the Kings starting unit yesterday, that first half Kings. It was like, wow, the ball is moving. They've got pace. It looks easy. It doesn't really feel like they're like trying to piece out shots, trying to figure out who gets what, like, does everybody eat? Mm-hmm. It looked simple. And they just went out there. They were able to move the ball. They were able to score. They were able to score what felt like relatively easily. They looked really, really comfortable. It goes back to the training camp conversation where, you know, that you guys are not training camp, the media day conversation where you guys are out there and you're talking to the players. And I think I just said at one point, like, I wonder if any of them are just like, guys, this is just, it's just basketball. Like, you know, everyone here is super smart. They're super in tuned. You're all asking really intelligent questions. But the truth is, once we get out on the floor, we're just playing basketball. And that's what it looked like last night.
That's it.
Those guys had just got out there on the floor. They were in sync with each other. I think the line that had been repeated over and over and over again was they weren't running plays. It was a read and react offense. And they were just going to get out there and they were going to play basketball. And in the end, that's what those guys do. Yeah. And it looked easy for him last night because they're all really good at it.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it any better myself. I mean, these guys are just hoopers. And that's what I really took away from it. It wasn't, oh, this person needs their touches, they need their looks or whatever, and I need to get the ball in my spot. No, it was just like, hey, this is how we're playing the game, and we're all going to fit into that. James was talking about it, and you noticed it when you watch it. They didn't even really run no plays. It was read and react. It was, okay, I see this guy over here. Let's get him the dribble handoff. Oh, you got a mismatch, DeMontis, in the post. Let me dump it down to you. It wasn't no plays. It wasn't an offense. It was read and react, and it was beautiful basketball. Like, it was last night, at least for one night, like I said, because I don't think this is a fluke at all. I think this is who they're going to be offensively all year long, but I'll just play it cautiously and say, at least last night, beautiful offense, beautiful offense. It was unselfish. It was everybody looking for their teammates. It was a couple of times Domas, you know, now he's got this in his bag. Him and Keegan got this connection here where it's they do this alley-oop thing from 13 feet out in the half court. Like, it's beautiful basketball. And it just has me thinking we're on the precipice of some best show on court type stuff with what they can do. I think there's transition stuff that they can get better at. I think spacing, you know, in transition they can get better at, and they've got dynamic passers. That Golden 1 center is going to get up on their feet a lot of times this year because of something spectacular that just happened.
So there's no concerns about the main group of Sacramento Kings, but what about everybody else? We'll talk about that. Plus, I'll let you know what I did with my day yesterday.
Yeah. I want to know this.
We've got all that coming up. It's D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC. D'Lo's on assignment. Actually, they only say that when you're like not there, right?
I'm here. Yeah, I just can't hear the rejoinder music, so you got to bring us back.
I was just saying that's what they normally say, like, oh, on assignment, but that means the person's not there at all.
Normally, unless you mean I'm in like the eye of the hurricane, like the weather people who are out there. Hey,
Everybody Wind take care over there. You see Tropicana,
bro? Florida? That was crazy. Wow. And they was using the field to like help people.
Yeah, man,
that's crazy.
I hope it's gone now. Like I haven't checked today. I don't know if the hurricane is passed, but man, that was crazy to see. That was crazy.
I don't think that it has. But that was,
and the only reason I thought that is because I saw, you know, they had a drone or aerial footage of, you know, above Tropicana Field this morning. They're like, now that the sun is up, you know, look at the damage. And I would think they'd only be able to do that if things were done. Like, it didn't look like any rain.
Yeah, maybe you're right. I'm looking at some of it right now. Man. This is awful. Mm. Just awful.
Scary stuff, man. Prayers up to everybody out there.
Yes, indeed.
That's dealing with Hurricane Melton. Prayers out.
Unbelievable. Yeah, that video of Tropicana Field was, goodness gracious. Mm. That was nuts.
Real quick, because I want to hear what you did yesterday. But I also
we'll save that because that's going to lead to another conversation.
Oh boy. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I did want to say, have you seen Starting Five yet? Have you started it?
That's what I did. Oh, I didn't realize you didn't see it.
Well, I haven't seen it yet. I only saw one episode. I love it. But
I was going to tell you is, I told you, like, the night before, it was a rough night for your boy.
Yeah.
I did not leave my bed yesterday till I had to feed Sprout at like 4:30.
Oh.
And I opened Netflix and saw the Starting Five, and I watched all 10 episodes.
It's 10 episodes.
One,
oh, man.
After the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. I watched the entire series yesterday.
Man, give us a rating so far. You know, there's not a lot.
I really like it. I thought it was a good series. I liked what they did. They intertwined real life. It's tough. You know, it's tough because, and I forgot that this happened, that, you know, Jimmy's dad passes away during the series.
And you see him, in the first episode with them playing dominoes and stuff. And
yeah. Like everyone kind of has like a personal focal point, right? And Tatum, it's a lot of Deuce and his mom. And Domas, it's a lot of his wife and kids, but like his, you know, Arvidas, his dad, has really worked into it as well. Jimmy, it's his dad. LeBron, it's his whole family. His, you know, personal pieces is his family. Ant-Man, his girlfriend, and obviously the story that goes along with him during that season. Mm-hmm. So everybody has like their own, you know, little personal piece to it. And, you know, Anthony Edwards, his girlfriend gives birth during the show. You know, Jimmy's dad passes away. You know, of course, you've got the Bronny. You know, you got his kids worked into that. So I like that they did that. They intertwined basketball. There was a moment as the series is kind of going and I'm watching it and I realize, oh, they're getting to the All-Star game. And I'm like, oh, Domas doesn't make the All-Star team. Then I start thinking, did Jimmy make the All-Star team? I don't think so. But they're not really focused. Oh, Domas isn't going to make the All-Star team. Mm. So, you know, they go through the reaction to that, which I think Kings fans will really enjoy, by the way, that was all put together. And then I'm watching it again, or, you know, getting into the later episodes, like, oh, wait a minute. Domas didn't make the playoffs. Oh, come on, man. And then you start realizing he was left out of like a lot of this stuff. And I thought they did a masterful job. Like they got, you know, they got lucky, so to speak, in the fact that one of the guys on the show actually won the title. Mm. So the way that they built it out, it just built perfectly because there was no, like, Kings fans won't leave that series thinking, oh, we got shortchanged. Mm. Domas didn't get enough. It I felt like it was completely balanced. Everybody got the same. I never felt like, man, they didn't show Domas enough love. He didn't get enough attention here. They didn't cover him enough. They didn't do this enough. I thought they did all of that really, really well. I thought the series was I'll say I think it was masterfully done.
Netflix.
I thought it was really, really good.
Netflix got that. They got that bag down pat. You know what I mean? With quarterback, receiver. I still haven't finished receiver, but it's just a phenomenal, like the way they put it together, the behind the scenes, the way they tell the story of these athletes. They've got that down pat. And I've only seen the first episode because once again, well, I know I've had another day, but the Kings played yesterday, but Netflix does it again. Like, oh, it'll be there at midnight, you know, and then 9 o'clock comes, there's nothing, just like they did with McMahon. And then it was available midnight on the West Coast. It was available. But they got me again. I was like, okay, oh yeah, we're gonna get this. I'm watching it at 9 p.m. I'll probably watch like 3 episodes. No, not on the West Coast.
Well, so the funny thing was, I didn't know that all episodes posted at once. I was really relieved that they did. Mm. But the first episode is really like two episodes. Mm. Because it's a part one and a part two. So Domas actually isn't even in the first episode. Yeah. They introduced the starting five over two episodes.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even get mad.
I think I know what you're gonna say, because
yeah,
come on, man. That's how the episode one ended, and I was like,
yeah,
oh, that boy is star.
Anthony Edwards' introduction was fire. Oh, it was dope.
They did it just like they did Justin Jefferson, man. And I said, this boy is a star. He is. I haven't seen the whole thing, but it's one of those things. The way they introduce Anthony Edwards at the end of episode one.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, we know who the star of this series is. And I don't know if it plays out that way or not, because everybody got their own thing. But the star, the charismatic character of the series, it feels like it's Anthony Edwards.
You don't walk away, in my opinion, feeling like someone is a star. Mm-hmm. Like someone might stand out to you. Mm. Like I sent it to someone who likes reality TV, but maybe doesn't necessarily know basketball. And the first, I don't know why I'm saying someone, I sent it to Katie. And Katie was like, oh my God, I hate Anthony Edwards. Like, so everyone, like people like stand out, right? Depending on what you're watching as, if you're watching as a basketball fan, or if you're watching as just someone who's watching a show, because I think the show is so well done. You can watch it as like someone who isn't as interested in basketball. Mm-hmm. And you don't walk away feeling like, I mean, there's a lot of love towards Anthony Edwards because the face of the league, mm-hmm. that phrase, the future face of the league, that phrase is used a lot. But you kind of walk away going, man, what a competitor Jimmy is. Mm-hmm. Man, Domas is really the most underrated baby face in the league. Anthony Edwards is the future. LeBron James is the greatest of all time. Mm. And man, what a really cool moment for Jason Tatum. Mm. That's kind of what I didn't walk away going, man, they made this person a star. They made this person a star. The beauty of these shows is it's a lot like wrestling. Everything is like wrestling. You want to tell individual stories. Mm. And that's what they did throughout this 10 episode show, was they told everybody's individual story. The beauty of it is, and now that I see it, I mean, hindsight being 2020, but you have everybody knew Anthony Edwards had kind of a heel persona, mm-hmm. because of the movie.
Right.
The thing with Adam Sandler. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like, oh, this dude could be a natural born villain. Like, this is easy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you already have LeBron there. So, you have stories right there. But with Domas, it's like you needed the not so much an underdog, but like an underrated guy. Mm. Like, who could we get in here who's really, really good and doesn't get the recognition he deserves? Mm. And that's Domantas Sabonis.
Perfect casting.
It's perfect. Yeah, it's perfect in balance. Like when you look at the rest of it, because De'Aaron. Like if we all agreed, De'Aaron would have been like, get out of my face. Look, Netflix, you could film 5 minutes a day and then you got to get away from me. It's like, that's not how this works, right? You need to invest a lot of time and give up a lot of your personal space for this to work. But even though De'Aaron is pretty chill, De'Aaron still has a, bro, I'm better than you. Mm-hmm. Better than all of you. Mm-hmm. Like, he still has an edge to him that, like, I can score when I want to. Mm-hmm. I can get a bucket anytime
there's,
I want to.
There's a level of cockiness to De'Aaron. If you, like, really pay attention to him and listen to him, it's like, oh, okay.
And he has no problem telling you that. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is the difference between him and Domas, because they brought up the not only did they bring it up, but they showed it, the Draymond Green play. Mm. And Draymond Green, and he said the same thing he said on the Rich Eisen show. He's like, I don't have no problem with him.
You sure?
No, I don't. I don't have Christmas no problem cards? With him. Now, his wife might hate his guts, but like Domas, you're not going to get that sound bite from him. Mm. Like, you're just not. And I think that made for a really good contrast to what you got from a guy like Anthony Edwards, who might not be as braggadocious as some of us think he is. Mm. It's a contrast to what we get from Jimmy Butler, who is every bit as braggadocious as we think he is. Jason Tatum, who is a little bit more humble, but he knows he's good, but he still hasn't quite found his.
What are they going to say now?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.